We have three readings today. The first comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Then from the book of Galatians, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. And then we turn to the book of 1 Peter. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, your word has been read and now to be proclaimed. Lord God, I ask that you be with each and every one of us, Father, Lord Jesus, the meditation of our hearts, thoughts of our minds, the words of my lips, that all of these may be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. In your son's most holy name, amen. Okay, we're continuing today talking about the Apostles' Creed, you know, basic beliefs, you know, of what it is to be a follower of God, you know, a believer of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. And we didn't say it earlier, so we're going to say it right now, okay? Now, how many, just, and be honest, how many people can say it without reading it? One. Two. Three. Yeah. Now, I look at it because my mind is going kind of fast, you know, so I have to keep up with it. Okay, so let's recite these words, affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and that Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We've talked about the first little short paragraph, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We talked about the long paragraph about Jesus. We talked about the Holy Spirit. Remember that? If you had the oxygen, you know, sensor on your finger like you do in the hospital and it measured the spirit in you, what would it be measuring? Would it be anything at all? Would it record anything? You know, then last week we talked about Jesus, you know, that one phrase, he descended to the dead or he descended to hell. You know, that Jesus went there, you know, between, you know, Good Friday and, you know, and Easter Sunday to knock down the gates of hell. That no, God does not send anybody to hell. If somebody's there, they're there by their own choice. And today, we're talking about the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. You know, Holy Catholic Church and communion of saints scattered throughout the world. Now, these two phrases, Holy Catholic and communion saints, you know, in some way, you know, it's talking about the same thing. You know, see, the message today, it's called Holy, Church, Catholic, you know, it's to see that, you know, and know what these phrases mean. You know, a lot of people outside the church, they look at the church, and I mean, you know, when I say church, I'm talking about this church, but every church, you know, in general. They look at the church, you know, say, you know, it really doesn't look, church doesn't look very holy to them. Now, what is the church? You. Yeah, the people. You know, just this morning, you know, I was reading that said, hey, you know, that if a church burned to the ground, the church building burned to the ground where there was nothing there, then you would really have the church. Because what's left? You. That you or the church, but that people look at the church and say, you know, it doesn't look very holy, you know, doesn't look very Catholic. You know, we're going to talk about those phrases today. You know, I told them this morning, I've talked to people here within this community, in almost every community I've been in, you know, and people ask me, you know, and I'm always surprised, you know, that people think this way. You know, they say, as Methodists, what do y'all believe? You know, y'all worship snakes or something? You know, and I'm thinking, come on. Gosh, why would you think? I say, well, we know what them Baptist people believe. You know, we just don't know what you Methodist people believe. You know, I say, well, we pretty much believe the same. Well, I say, we don't believe the same thing as Baptists. Baptists believe the same thing we do. You know, let's put it that way. You know. You know, but we have some differences. But the thing is, you know, we make a big deal, you know, about the differences that we have. You know, that when we gather together, you know, people, you know, say, you know, are you really being the church that Jesus wanted it to be? You know, are we? You know, and we have to own that. Are we really the church, you know, that Jesus meant it to be? Because at times, you know, I don't think the church looks very holy and really doesn't look very Catholic. Now, the word used for holy in the New Testament is used over and over again, and it means set apart for God. The church set apart for God, you know. And to a lot of people, you know, being holy, all that means to them is I don't drink, smoke, cuss, chew, or listen to rock and roll music. Now, how many of y'all can claim that? Huh? I don't drink, cuss, or smoke, but I listen to rock and roll music. You know, and you don't hang out with people that do all those things. You know, but, you know, we strive to be holy. We strive to be set apart, you know, for God. You know, but sometimes we're not, you know, and we have to own that too. That just like I was telling the kids a little while ago, that Jesus Christ has paid the price for us, ransomed us on the cross, that all those times when we're not holy and set apart, we know nothing, and I've said this, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. But the church is made up of different people. You know, some people are truly set apart for God. You know, I spent the last week down at the in Covington at the monastery of Benedictine monks, you know, on a retreat. You know, those men, you know, they worship 5 or 6 times a day. Started at, there's a service at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 11:15. Then I think there's another one at 3, 5, and 7:15, you know, 7:15 or 7 o'clock at night. You know, they are truly set apart for God. Now, their worship service differ from us. You know, the 11:15 service is a real worship service. The rest of the worship services is just like going through the Psalms, chanting the Psalms, you know, and reading Scripture. But to sit among those men, you truly, you know, that they are set apart for God. What kind of got me, though, I've never been there. It's a seminary, Catholic seminary. I've never been there when seminary was in session. That as we're leaving one of the services, they're coming in, all the seminarians, and they're checking roll for them, you know. And I was talking to one of the monks. I said, well, you know, what's going on? He said, oh, started to laugh and said, Even these, you know, said, yeah, they're in seminary, but what is it? It's college. Yeah, even they will try and skip out, even on worship service, you know, to go catch a few extra, you know, a few extra Z's, you know, to go back to the dorm and go to sleep or something. We got to keep track of them. You know, all these young, you know, nobody was old as all these young men, you know, but to be truly set apart for God. But the church is made up of people that are way up there, that are truly set apart, The church is made up of people that are on their way. They're trying to work to that. The church is made up of people, you know, that are on the journey. And the church is made up of some people that just hadn't got a clue as to what being set apart for God is about. But the thing is, we have to own that. That all of those people, no matter where we are on the journey, everybody is welcome in the church of Jesus Christ to know the love of God, to welcome everybody, you know, to, hey, that you're welcome here. You know, and the other thing about the word Catholic, it does not mean Roman Catholic. Everybody knows that? It's Catholic with a little c. It means universal, you know, not universalist, the universalist church that, you know, those people believe, you know, that when everything's said and done, God's just going to say, hey, everything's a big joke. Everybody come on up. Doesn't mean that. It means church universal, the church around the world, all churches, that every church, whoever two or more gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, they are the church and they are Catholic, universal. That means there's Catholic Catholics, there's Methodist Catholics, there's Pentecostal Catholics. And if you really want to make a Baptist mad, call them a Baptist Catholic. You know, I've met some Baptists, you know, I've told them that, you know, and they don't like that at all. The church is so divided. You know, and we've seen that even here among us, that we pick fights over small things, doctrine. You know, and the thing is, a lot of things we pick fights over or we disagree over, it's man-made things. It's things that we have come up with, or man somewhere along the way has come up with. But Jesus, the night before he died, he prayed a prayer. Father, help them be one as we are one. That was what Christ wanted for his church. Father, help them to be one as we are one. You know, we could not even stay one as United Methodists, you know, and it was, you know, it worked. But to be one, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Episcopal, to be one. You know, there's so many things that we can't agree on. We can't even agree on the Apostles' Creed. We can't even agree on to say it or not among us. There's so many things we don't agree on. But what about being the church today? The church, the word church comes from a word, Greek word in the Bible that means belonging to the Lord. So the very definition of church means it belongs to God. It really means it belongs to Jesus. Another word in the New Testament is ecclesia. At the time of the New Testament, the word did not really mean church. It just means wherever two or more people, wherever a group assembled, gathered together. Then for hundreds of years, it was used wherever people gather to worship God. Didn't mean church. It just meant wherever they were called together to worship God, an assembly or a group of people. Then one day, Jesus said to Peter, who do you say I am? He said to all the apostles, who do you say I am? Who do people say that I am? And how did Peter answer? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' answers to Peter is, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father has revealed this to you. Then Jesus goes on to say, on this rock I will build. And what did he say? I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. Jesus, and it was one of the first times we hear the word church in the New Testament. And Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build your church. He said, I'm going to build my church. That the church belongs to Jesus Christ. And he's telling Peter, you know, what you said, on your faith, on you declaring me as the Savior, the Messiah, on that I'm going to build my assembly. And Peter goes on later to say, once upon a time you were nobody, but now you are followers of Jesus. You are somebody. You are the people of God. That you, here today, you are the people of God. Do you own that? Do you own that you are a child of God and we are the people of God? Then Paul gives us another picture in Galatians. Let us work for the good of all, especially for those of what? The family of faith. The family of faith, another way to describe the church. That over and over again in the New Testament, the people of church, the family of God, refer to each other as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. You know, Amanda, my wife, female pastor, you know, a lot of people would call her Sister Amanda. You know, that's kind of a Pentecostal thing, kind of. And oh, gosh, you want to make her mad? Call her Sister Amanda. Some of the people, you know, she was an associate pastor at Nolley, the Nolley Methodist Church in Gena. And some of those people came, you know, on the retreat. And one of the men knew. And he said, Aaron, when you get home, tell Sister Amanda I said hello. Said, I might call her or text her, but I'm not going to be in the same room and tell her. You know, says, you do that. But to recognize, to know, we all need family. We all need community. You know, one thing I've seen over the years, young adults. Now, I actually had to look up what is considered a young adult. Do y'all consider yourselves young adults? Huh? Well, you know, I was talking, I told Casey this morning, you know, I wanted to teach a young adult class. And she said, well, Aaron, I'll pass that. Well, I said, to me, young adults, you know, I Googled it. Young adults was 18 to 29. Y'all in that range, huh? No. Gosh, you know, but I wanted to teach a young adults class. It's called Growing Your Faith, Growing Your Faith. All it's about is sharing your faith at home, you know, with a family, you know, with your family. You know, in case these two don't remember it, Casey says she remembers it. You know, so y'all must be past the young adult stage. Y'all done forgetting your memory. You know, say so you remember yesterday, you know, but you know, remember 5 years ago, but can't remember yesterday. Yeah, I know that feeling. But to share our faith at home, but the one thing I see about young adults, they want to belong to something. They want something or group to share their, you know, share their life with. And what a lot of young adults find that, where they find that? Sports with their kids. That's the big draw of putting kids in sports, is sharing their faith. You know, sharing life with somebody. But that's supposed to be the church. You know, a community of people, a family of faith, sharing our life with somebody. And what did Jesus tell his disciples? They will know you are my disciples by what? By your love. By your love for one another. That we're supposed to love people outside the church. But when Jesus said this, what did he mean? Supposed to love each other inside the church. And people, I got to tell you, before we failed miserably. Got an F. I don't know how many of y'all knew. But August 14th was a one-year anniversary of the two Thompson kids dying. Tuesday, we released balloons. Five people from this church were there. Four of those people made the extra effort to come to Bible. They would have been at Bible study. They made the extra effort to be there early. One person out of this whole church that wasn't in Bible study made the extra effort to be there. Get an F for caring about each other. What would it have meant? I mean, thank goodness there were a lot of people, a lot of kids, but what would it have meant to that family to see the church there to say, we love and care for you? What would it have meant for all those other people that are not from here to see the church there? Look how much this church cares for people. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Caring for each other. You know, and I hear people say, I don't need the church. You know, the thing is, you may not need the church, but the church needs you. You never know when somebody sitting next to you or somebody here needs something that you have. Just a couple of weeks ago, a lady told me she was going in the bathroom. Somebody's coming out and she's going in. They stopped and talked to each other. That one lady that was coming out, she needed a ride to the doctor. She didn't have one. She couldn't go. The lady going in, she was the one that gave her a rod. A God-given moment putting the two of them together. You never know when there's somebody here that needs something you have. And people tell me, Aaron, I worship God on the golf course. Really? You know, do you worship God? How many people play golf? You worship God on 18th green?
Sometimes I pray for that putt.
You know, I bet on the 18th green, God's name is mentioned a lot of times, but it's never in praise, especially on a missed putt. You know, and people tell me, Aaron, I can worship God, you know, in the deer stand or the duck blind. Really? While you're sitting there, you ever take scripture out and read it and be challenged by God? And say, well, if I do that, I can't see the ducks or I can't see the deer. Then how do you worship? I pray. Do you close your eyes and pray? Do you pray, you know, just totally, totally in sync with God? Well, yeah, really, well. See, I say, is that the only time you pray? When you're near the duck stand or the deer stand or the duck blind? Yeah. I know you're praying for ducks or you're praying for the deer, but just do you pray? And if that's the only time you pray, we're in trouble, brother. We come together as a people of God, the church. Not just for us, but the people around us. That it's not always about us. It's the people that are here. The church is meant to be a community of redemption, a place of love, a place of acceptance, a place for transformation that people care for one another, encourage each other, and a place that we grow in our faith, to live out our faith in the world around us. That God became one of us and walked among us. He took on flesh to show us and be the very nature of God, to offer us healing and redemption, and to point us in the right direction, to save us from what? To save us from ourselves. And it starts right here. And before Jesus ascended, before he left, he says, go into all the world, and be my witnesses to live out your faith. You can argue with people till you're blue in the face and you're not going to convince them about God, but do something for them. Tell them about how much Jesus loves you and how much Jesus loved them, but do something for them. People don't, usually do not come to faith by some great theological argument. They come to faith because somebody lived out their faith in their life to tell them about the love of God through their hands. And that's what God is calling us to do. To live out our faith here and wherever we are at. One last thing, the communion of saints. I love this statement because it means so much to me. The communion of saints. That in the Bible, when they talked about this, when they call each other saints, they're not talking about, you know, the saints have been canonized by the Roman Catholic Church. They're talking about the saints that are sitting in the pews today. That each and every one of you are saints, living saints. We're all saints. Paul says in the book of Romans, calls us saints. Each other, you're saints. But then it talks about the saints that have gone on before us. You know, I used to always tell my kids, you know, and still tell them, I pray for you every day, every night. But know this, that when my time comes, and I hope I'm seeing Jesus face to face, I'll still be praying for you that all those that have gone on before us, we are never closer to them than you are right now. You're here praising God, and they're in heaven praising God, praying for you. So we're all saints, the communion of saints. So yes, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, and I believe in the communion of saints. And I believe that we are seeking to live into that, to be the church, to be a community of people, a gathering of people that welcomes everybody, no matter where they are in their journey of faith, if they're just starting or well along, to be welcoming people. But to love each other. To love each other as we want to be loved. And don't you want that? The people around you to love and care for you. To care for each other. When we do that, people are drawn to that. They see that and they want part of that. Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, help us to be the church. To be the church that you call us to be. To push back the darkness in the world as a body of Christ. To be a church that you use to change the world around us. Lord God, one soul at a time. Help us, Father, Son, Spirit. In your holy name, amen.